Thank you, Lori. Happy New Year! Jesus has come, and the Word has been made flesh. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this amazing? Isn't it why we're here? Jesus born? Right? I know, it's a new year. You've probably taken down your tree, unlike up here. You're back into the swing of life in the winter in Wisconsin. And Christmas? At this point, Christmas was so 2019. But it's still the Christmas season. Epiphany doesn't technically start until tomorrow, so suck it up, Buttercup. It's still Christmas. Okay, maybe that's going a bit too far. It's okay to be feeling however you're feeling. It's okay to be over Christmas, even if it's still the Christmas season, technically. But our scripture is a reminder that we're still at the beginning of the story, the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What came into being in him was light, and the light was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That's beautiful. That's poetry. Honestly, this is the way I see God. I see truth. It's momentarily caught in thoughtful, poetic words, or a beautiful piece of music, or a well-told story, or many other amazing, creative, powerful ways that humans share and try to express what is felt or seen or experienced. So much of what is most essential in life, or true, cannot be named or categorized or nailed down. And as soon as you do, as soon as you start to describe and explain, it slips away. Truth just runs through your fingers and out onto the floor, and all you've done is made a mess. That's how I feel pretty much every time I try to write or create, and certainly every time I get up in church to give a message. But hopefully, something oozing out of my between my fingers sticks with you and makes sense to you. Maybe I should stop with that analogy. But John can't stay poetic either. He starts storytelling instead. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. He's laid out that John the Baptist was preparing for God's coming. Instead of the cosmos and the eternal, he's talking about a specific time and place, now. And immediately, we receive the gut punch. His own people did not accept him. There's the tragedy of humanity right there. All things came into being through God, and we did not accept God among us. He continues, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a parent's only son, full of grace and truth. Boom! Gospel summed up in a paragraph. Poetic cliff notes, people. It's all there. We've gone from the creation in the beginning, and we've moved on to God, the Word, becoming human and living with humans and then being killed by humans. And that this is a testimony to God's love, full of grace and truth. Okay, I'm going to hit the pause button on John here for a moment. Did you know I'm doing a project at church this year? Yes, I can feel your inner groans. If you've been a part of this faith community for the past 5 months or so, it's been hard to avoid hearing or seeing me blab on about this, but give me just one moment to blab on about this. So we've been looking at who we are as a faith community. We started with looking at back at Milwaukee Mennonites past, and later in Lent and Easter, we'll look at how we envision our future. But now, as we begin the new year, we're looking at now, the present, who we are today. Gah, that's so hard. Okay, I mean, we can define ourselves by who we were, what we've done. But Jesus was pretty clear with the Pharisees and Sadducees. What you do in the past meant nothing to him, especially if you weren't in the moment, present, experiencing and responding to what was going on around you. You can't not heal the person right in front of you pleading just because of the rules of Sabbath. You can't not eat and be with people of lesser repute simply because it won't look good for you. That's thinking about one's own selfish future. Not being present. It's so hard for us to be fully present. It's so hard for me to be fully present. If I have to pick one regret, I have as a parent, as a spouse, as a decent human, it's not being fully present. So you think I would do something about that? It's hard. It's hard not to think about what's to come, to consider how someone's decision or action might impact their or your future. It's hard not to dwell on past experiences that bubble up into your conscience when someone says or does something. Bah! One of the best personal examples I can give is that for 2.5 years, we lived in Kansas, and every week I would go over to Rachel's grandparents' place and spend time with them. Usually it was around a coffee group Rachel's grandfather, Robert, hosted, but it also was getting John out of school early to have lunch with them and other windows that were relatively intimate and personal. I knew this was a special opportunity. These were two amazing people, Robert and Lois, who had lived amazing lives and knew my family, knew me. And honestly, I wanted to hear some of their wisdom. I yearned for aha moments that would put things in a new light or lead to greater understanding. And I'm not saying that there weren't, but not in the ways or the time frame I wanted or expected. We often would talk politics or history or the church or a combination of those things. And yet, the moment that stands out of those 2.5 years to me the most is not a conversation, but watching 92-year-old Robert roll a Chinese meditation ball across the table to 5-year-old John. The gentle sound of the bell inside the ball as it moved across the tablecloth. The twinkle in John's eye and the chuckle of Robert. Witnessing the sheer pleasure and joy, both of them fully present and enjoying the moment. Why is it so hard to take time to appreciate these little gifts? These experiences that are all around us all the time. Why is it so hard to be fully present for and with each other? In this project, I've broken up interviewing and talking with you all into past, present, and future. But it's also important to acknowledge that following Christ, being in the world, is a continual process of adjustment. It's not a procession of history. Jesus came to a specific time and place. Jesus came for now, just not our now, or at least not in the physical way we can experience. But we find ourselves in a particular time and place, just like the Word made flesh Christ did. And sometimes we love and enjoy our lot in life, and sometimes we would rather have God take away the tough decisions and painful moments, just like Christ did. John ends his passage by saying, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made God known. So who are we today, right now? We all have our own individual reasons for being here, for being part of a community. No two of us are alike, and I hope you will take some time in the next month or two to share with me what that looks like and means to you. But at some level, aren't we here because we believe that there is something in the universe bigger than all of this? A force, a presence that is beyond the now and yet fully present in the now. An undergirding love that knows no boundaries. A word, the word, which we can't fully understand or define, but that is still the best way that we can make sense of this crazy world. It's why the Magi traveled so far and searched a foreign land. It's why King Herod felt threatened and had so many babies put to death. It's why the author of John was inspired and moved to share this gospel. It's why our Anabaptist spiritual ancestors refused the will of the state. It's why people all over the world come together to worship. It's why we gather, why we're here. We're not a clique. We're not the Rotary, some club. We follow the teachings and life of God made human. And while we don't have Jesus, God made human, physically here among us today, we have each other. Physical, tangible examples of God's love. So who are we? We sing together, we eat together, we worship together, we play together, we laugh together, we cry together. And all those are wonderful, important ways of connecting and understanding. So is simply being. And so as we begin a new year, and as we ask ourselves who we are, and as we prepare for communion, I'd like us to take a moment to be present together, to let everything else just fall away for 1 minute and just be here right now with us. If you can't turn your mind off, I get that. Listen for the sounds of each other. Consider the sensations you feel around you. This is a communal activity, so if you need to close your eyes, great. If you need to look around and see others, that's fine too. If something is loud or feels disruptive, that's okay. That's part of being present. But let's just take 1 minute to simply be together. Thank you.